This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hi, welcome to today's episode. Today we're speaking to Dawn Friday. So Dawn uses freehand machine embroidery to create stitch keepsakes and gifts to capture memories in fabric under her company Girl Friday Embroidery. So Dawn sells beautiful handmade products, and she's going to talk to us today about that business and how she got started. It's a fantastic conversation, and as always, I really hope you enjoy it. So here's Dawn. So hi Dawn, thank you so much for being here. Could we start by you telling us a bit about your business and what you sell, please?
Yeah, of course. Hello, thanks for having me. So my name's Dawn, and I run a product business called Girl Friday Embroidery. I've been working on the business in my home studio for nearly 6 years now, and I make freehand embroidered pieces. I don't know if you want me to sort of explain what freehand embroidery is, because obviously, a lot of people don't really know.
I don't really know.
No, that's fine. So you've got sort of two main types of embroidery. One is what you would see on, I would probably say, like towels and bathrobes and things like that, when you have maybe like monogramming done and stuff. That's done on like a computerized sort of program machine. Freehand embroidery is where you use your needle as the pen, basically. So it is actually the other name for it is drawing in stitches. So you are literally using the needle to draw on your fabric. I think my drawing and my handwriting is a lot neater on a sewing machine than it is with my actual hand. But it's just one of those things, it takes a bit of practice. But yeah, so I draw on fabric. I create lots of pictures and keepsakes, home decorations, all different bits and pieces. I'll copy things. And that's basically what I do.
So how did you get started doing that then, Dawn?
I've always been creative. I've always sort of loved to make things. Even as a child, we were always crafting, especially with my mum. She's always been very creative. And I do remember growing up, there were always sewing machines in the house, and my mum's always made curtains and things like that for the home. I have never been any good at sewing. I did a year 9 textile class, and we had to make a skirt from a pattern, and mine was so off, I think it would have fit about 4 people. I don't know what I'd done wrong. My mum had always tried to get me interested in sewing. It was something that I just was not interested in. So I've always sort of had that creative streak in me. And then when we moved into the house that we live in currently, I was all over Pinterest, as you do, looking for some ideas for my boys' bedrooms. And I kept coming back to this style that I kept seeing, which I now know is freehand. And I wanted to have a go at just making them some cushions. So I borrowed a sewing machine from my mum. And I was trying to do it using a normal machine, which you can do, but I didn't know that you have to use a special foot to do the embroidery. So I almost broke her sewing machine by trying. And then I sort of did a little bit more research into it, ended up doing a course at a local sort of craft place for 3 hours just to have a go. And as soon as I started, I was so I was just thrilled. I loved it. And I knew that I just needed to keep doing it. So I came home, I bought myself a sewing machine. I think it was a Tesco's own, actually. It was like £60 or something. I bought the embroidery foot, and I started practicing. And it's just kind of, I know people say, oh, it just evolved from there, but it really did. At the time, my youngest was only two, so he was just starting preschool. So I didn't really have time to actually build a business. But I started off making applique items and making them into nappy cakes, which I was selling to friends and family, and a few people ordered. So I started up a Facebook page. And I was doing that, but then I was still trying to do the embroidery. And then I just decided to stop doing the nappy cakes because it wasn't really for me. I was just sort of enjoying having something creative to do, really. And then it sort of went from there. And it has, as my children have got older and my youngest started school, the business has kind of taken on a life of its own and grown. And now I work full time on it.
Oh, well, that's amazing. So how long ago was it that you started sort of operating as a business?
I think probably I'd say I started doing it properly when he started school, and he's just gone into year four. So it's 4 years, this is my fifth year. I had a rebrand because I was originally called Baby Cakes because I was making cakes for babies. And then I had a rebrand and called myself Girl Friday. Friday is actually my surname. So that was how I came up with the name. I think when he started school, I sort of thought, oh, I'll probably do it 2 or 3 days a week. But yeah, that very quickly changed. And before I knew it, I was working 5 days, and around Christmas time, it's nearer seven, but not complaining.
Oh, wow. So is that? So I've seen that you sell a whole range of things. So what is it, mostly personalised items that you're selling now, or is it 50-50 between the stuff that you've already made?
I'd say I don't really tend to hold any stock. Pretty much everything I make is to order, only because I never really seem to find a block of time when I can build my stock up. So the only time really that I would make any stock is when I do some Christmas fairs, which not sure if that's going to be happening this year anyway, but I normally spend like a couple of weeks, weekends and things, just trying to get some stock together. But yeah, most of the items that I do sell are personalised. I've tried to steer away from that a bit, but it's what I love doing. I really love creating the one-offs, and that does seem to be the most popular.
So how do you manage the logistics of that, of making everything to order?
Sometimes I don't, especially in the last quarter, which I know we're technically in at the moment, but I always feel like with Christmas, nobody wants to talk about it in September unless you're actually a maker, in which case you've been thinking about it for a couple of months anyway. And then we kind of get into early October, and I feel like we're on a roller coaster, and you're sort of starting to head up to the top. And then as it gets towards end of October, you just tip over and everything's sort of a bit free fall for the next sort of 6 weeks, really. I mean, I try and plan as much as possible. Obviously, all of my work and my business is done around family life. So sometimes I'll be honest, I do find it really difficult. It is just me working on everything, and everything is handmade. So it always takes longer. Even now, even sort of 5 years down the line, I still always think I'm going to get more done in a short window of school day than I actually do. It's just kind of, I kind of try and keep a check on my sort of Etsy inventory, how many orders are coming in, and then if I think that I'm getting to a point where I'm going to be keeping people waiting for too long, then I'll close my shop for a couple of days or a week or so, just to try and catch up. That is really the only way to manage it. or that I know of.
That really does make sense, because I guess as well, people, there's only so long people are going to want to wait as well.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll get things out to people within a couple of days or a week, but most of the time it is a 2 to 3 week turnaround. And then obviously if people are ordering Christmas items sort of the end of September, then if it's a decorative item, then I know that they need to have it by early December, because most people like to put their Christmas things up early, don't they? But if not, I will if I think it's going to be sort of 4 or 5 weeks, then I will always try and let the person know. And what you do tend to find is, because it's handmade, people are quite happy to wait as long as they know that it's coming.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that nobody really expects personalised, any, you know, anything made to order, nobody really expects that to come next day or even next week.
No, I do think Amazon's given us a bit of a tall order. I mean, you do get some people that message and say, oh, I want this, it's a custom item. I do a lot of copies of photographs, which obviously are quite time consuming. And then someone will say, oh, could you get it to me by the end of the week? And as much as I'd like to say yes, I can't then leapfrog everybody else that's in the queue. So sometimes you do have to say no, as much as it pains me.
Yeah, I think saying no is a bit of a skill, isn't it? It's harder than you think. I'm exactly the same. So you mentioned that you sell on Etsy. So we haven't, that's a platform I don't know that much about or haven't spoke much about. So it'd just be interesting to know how you find selling on Etsy and why that platform's a good place to start.
Yeah, I think Etsy, the appeal with Etsy, or the purpose of Etsy, is meant to be that it is all handmade. There are a lot of items on there that aren't. I don't think they police it that heavily, but that is kind of where you go. It is more of a marketplace for creatives instead of, say, an eBay or Amazon. I know Amazon have got their own handmade section now, but I think sometimes it can get a bit confused with just the Amazon Prime. So people still expect things quite quickly. With Etsy, I use the Etsy app, which is great. It's really user friendly, and I like the fact that it's very simple to put your products on. There aren't loads of different steps that you have to go through, and then everything's uploaded instantly, and you can split your shop into different sections. You can put your shop on holiday at any time. The commission is quite high, but then, to be honest, the other way that people would pay me, if it's a direct order, is through PayPal. And I think it's pretty much comparative, the PayPal commission or the Etsy commission. If you sell through any kind of platform, you're going to have to pay some kind of fee, aren't you? Yeah. For the transaction. Obviously the only thing with Etsy is you are competing with thousands and thousands of other sellers, but they do sometimes pick you out of the abyss and promote you if you're lucky. They do recognize bestseller items. You can pay to promote. I've never actually done that. I've found that just having the link to my Etsy shop sort of quite widely available has always done quite well. I really like it. And also it makes, I think some of the other, like Shopify and things like that, do the same, but the noise when you get a sale is like an old-fashioned till, which even now is just, it never fails to make my day. I made some items, I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point, but at the start of lockdown, and I put things on sale and they were going really, really quickly. I've never had that happen. I've never had a, like, things are on sale and then it just snowballs. And I was sitting with my children and my phone was just going absolutely mad. It was just cha-ching, 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 because there were so many transactions going through. So, yeah, whoever thought of that is a genius, because it's a really good sound.
I didn't know they did that. That's so nice. Yeah. I didn't like that.
It's really fun.
And we will come back and talk about the items you mean that you were selling in lockdown.
Yeah.
We'll definitely come back and talk about that. So while we're on Etsy, do you have any sort of tips or anything you think that if someone was going to use that platform, something they think they should know?
So on Facebook, I mean, I, There are absolutely loads of Etsy groups which you can join. So if you are looking at setting up on Etsy, I would suggest maybe don't join loads, because as with Facebook groups, you can get a little, the chat can get a bit overwhelming, but there are some really good ones to go and search out. Sometimes they're for your area, which is really helpful. So if you were to perhaps have a little Google, or even join one of the generic ones and then ask, someone should be able to direct you. Because I think Etsy is such a huge platform that there are so many people on there. So the wealth of knowledge available is wide. There's so much. But as I say, that I've always found the app is really good, and it's very user-friendly. So to be honest, to set yourself up on the Etsy app really doesn't take very long. To set up an Etsy shop, what I would say is, if you're thinking about doing it, I always sort of thought, oh, I'll do it when I've got like 20 products or 30 products. And there is talk of this, oh, the magic number. If you have 100 listing on Etsy, then you get seen. To have 100 products on any site is a lot. You might not even have 100 products. So I think there was that sort of mentality. But in the end, I think you just need to just go for it. Even if you start the shop and you've got 5 products on there, you're still out there. The hosting is great. The fees are quite low. But yeah, I would say one tip is to research the tag. So when you upload a product onto Etsy, you have the option of putting 13 tags, which is things that people would search when they go onto Etsy to try and find you. So as I say, there's so many products on there. There's so many categories, so you need to try and be as specific as possible. So it's sort of putting yourself in the mindset of the customer, what they may well search for. Obviously, for me, if I was to just have someone search embroidered artwork, there will be thousands of things come up. So you do really need to be quite specific. So I normally try and do a little bit of research first, just to see, I'll tap some things in and see what comes up, just to see if what I think is okay or if it is just way off. But yeah, that's kind of all really. I mean, they allow you 8 photos, I think, per item. And then you pop in a title and a product description, but you can set up your shipping categories and all things like that. You can choose where you ship to. I don't ship anywhere but the UK, really for sort of postal tracking and insurance purposes and things like that. But there are so many options on there. So yeah, that's kind of all I'd say about Etsy really. But yeah, very positive.
That's great advice, thank you. And yeah, I really like your advice to just get started, because I think you're right, it's too easy to say, oh, I'll do this when I've got 5 products, I'll do it when I've got 10 products. But actually, yeah, even if you've just got the one, you might as well get started rather than waiting.
And to be honest, you don't even have to advertise your shop until you've got 30 in, but I think just that overwhelming task of doing anything times 30 compared to 5, just get going with it.
That's great advice, thank you. So do you sell your products anywhere other than on Etsy? Because you mentioned Amazon Handmade. Is that somewhere you've tried or not?
Yeah, I did look at Amazon. It's very involved, and I think a lot of people, I did apply and then I got accepted when it all started off. I know some people do really well on there, but I was slightly put off by the fact there's a lot of legal jargon that comes with it. There was masses and masses of terms and conditions and things like that. And one of the things that slightly put me off was they said that they basically own the right to your images and to your listings and everything once they're live, which didn't really sit well with me. And I didn't want my stuff being moved around and splashed all over Amazon if I wasn't really aware of it. So yeah, I decided that it wasn't for me. I went through the process of setting it up and then I've just decided no. But yeah, I sell with the All By Mama Marketplace, as you know, and I've been with them since the very, very beginning. I met Gemma at the Handmade Fair when they were first starting up and they were there promoting the marketplace. And I joined, I think that must have been 6 years ago, because I'd only really just started. But yeah, they're great. And I love the network that we're involved in. I think they're really good. It's nice to have a group where everybody's kind of in the same boat. I know you're on the WhatsApp group. So we've got a WhatsApp group going with the All By Mama Network. And I think there's quite a few people on there now.
Yeah, and it feels like a really nice supportive group as well. Actually,
it does.
In the show notes for this episode, I'll actually link up for anyone who sort of is getting going, because I feel like it's a nice group to be part of, particularly if you're just starting out, because it is
there's
so friendly
so much
and
knowledge
helpful.
On there as well.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not very technical, but some of the, I know if I had a question, someone would be able to answer. I've sold with All By Mama for years. And I will continue to sell with them because I think they're a really good platform. That's kind of it, really. I do have a website, but I don't currently have a shop on there. The only reason is that I haven't set it up yet. But again, it's as I was saying with the Etsy, I really need to take my own advice, because it is that overwhelming. I'm starting from scratch again, and that's why I haven't done it. I'm later this week, actually, I'm going into a pop-up shop, which is local to where I live. It's actually in Chelmsford in Essex. So that's exciting, because I've not done that. I've sold in shops before, but this is actually on a high street. I'm renting a shelf space, and I've just been getting all the stock together for that. So exciting.
That's really exciting.
I'm a bit nervous as well. Thank you.
So will that be made to order products, or products you already have made up?
No, I can't do made to order with a shop like that, because obviously the turnaround would just be too slow. I've made up batches and batches of different things just to test the water. And I will be there in the next couple of months, sort of in the run up to, dare I say, at Christmas. So yeah, we'll see how it goes, but fingers crossed.
Oh, I hope it goes well. And it sounds like a really
Thank
good
you.
Option, because I know a lot of the fairs and markets and things obviously this year are cancelled. So
yeah,
it sounds like a nice way of getting your products actually in front of people, because I find that sometimes it's nice if just people can see and pick up the things that you're, well, maybe now, maybe we don't want them to pick them up so much.
No.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what the rules are.
I know. But you know, it's nice, like, when people can see them rather than seeing a picture on the screen. It's
yeah.
a bit different, isn't it? So that's really nice.
And to be honest, I get a lot of direct commissions through Instagram and Facebook. So I've got a Facebook page as well. I'd say Instagram is where I do most of my sort of chat and my daily work, really. Facebook, I find, is quite a struggle now, unless you want to pay to boost your posts and things. People just don't see them. I think the days of when Facebook used to show your page to everybody just don't exist anymore, in my opinion. So I do get a lot of messages through Instagram of people asking to commission things. That's a nice way to be in touch with people.
Yeah, that is. And so do you have a shop on Instagram or Facebook, or do you just link through to your Etsy store?
No, I just link through to my Etsy store. Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice as well. So you're not having to keep duplicating everything as well.
Yeah. Yeah, as I say, I am a bit of a technophobe, and when they did the shoppable tags, when that all came out, I tried to set up my Facebook shop so that it can link through to my Instagram, and it just didn't work. And Facebook then Instagram just removed the function from my profile, and it's only just come back. I think this was about a year ago when I tried to do it. It's only just appeared back on my Instagram profile, but I've got absolutely no idea how to do it now, and to be honest, I've given up. It was a couple of days of stress, and there was nothing at the end of it. So
well, you know, if you're getting commissions through there anyway, then it's probably not a big deal, because I think there's so much we could be doing to sell and promote products. But I think it sounds like that might be something that, you know, you're doing well anyway. Definitely can't do it all. So if you don't mind, we're just going to change focus a little bit, because I'd love to talk a little bit about, well, we sort of hinted to this earlier, the products you created at the beginning of the lockdown in the UK, because I was following you, I saw that you created them, and I saw that they literally just flew off the shelves, didn't they? So lovely to hear about.
I know. I mean, to be honest, I've never had anything like that happen before in the last 5 years, and it was on the All By Mama group where I floated the idea. I don't know if you were around when I popped it on. So I'd had a couple of people, this was right back sort of at the end of March, so we were literally a week into lockdown, and a couple of friends who were nurses who were not spending any time with their children, and the children were quite obviously distressed because they were either living apart from them or they just weren't able to be with them much because they were at work. And I've made I call them little people, but I've made like little school children since. I'd made fairies and things like that at Christmas time, and someone said to me, could you make me a little version of a nurse with my hair colour and my name on so that my daughter can keep it? So I said, yes, okay, I'll do that for you. And then I thought, okay, this seems like it could be something that other people may want. But I think like a lot of other businesses, right back at the start, I remember watching Holly Tucker. She was doing the SME broadcast daily, and a lot of people were quite nervous about keeping their business going because they felt like they shouldn't be. I do know some people that did shut for a couple of months because they felt that they shouldn't be trying to promote products at a time when obviously terrible things were happening. So I really wasn't sure how I felt about it because I didn't want to seem like I was trying to make money out of a horrible situation. So I made up some samples, put the pictures on the All By Mama group because I think that it's quite a good group for feedback. And everybody said, no, you should just go for it. So I thought, okay, I will. So I popped them in the Etsy shop, hadn't shared them at all on my Instagram feed, like not at all. And I do story a lot as well. And I'd not put them on there. So nobody knew anything about them. And I put them on and went off, and I was actually on a Zoom call with some friends. And I was like, what's going on with my phone? And I had so many messages and so many comments and things on this one post that I'd put out. I don't think I've ever had so many likes and comments on one post. And I'd said that they were going on sale the following evening. And yeah, it just went completely crazy. I had so many shares. So what I did was I created, originally, it was a paramedic, a nurse and a doctor. And you could buy them as a male or female. And then you could change their hair colour. And I did have some requests for uniform and things like different colour scrubs and stuff. And then you could put a name on them if you wanted to. And they were the three that I put out. And I donated from the sale of each one £3 to the NHS Charities Direct, who support NHS workers by paying for hospital parking. They give them vouchers for meals and things like that, support families. And I just thought it would be a nice way for me to kind of give back, because obviously at that time we all felt a little bit helpless. And I put the first batch on sale, and I didn't actually put a maximum number. So normally I'll put something on Etsy of like a quantity of 20, and then at some point they'll go. And I got in a panic in the end because I sold, I think it was 150 in the first batch within like 20 minutes. So I just quickly closed my Etsy shop and then had a little cry. And then went, oh my God, how am I going to make all these? Because my children are at home and we're trying to school and my husband's here working. And I just wasn't expecting that level of uptake, really. But yeah, we got through it. I'm still selling them now. I still get a couple of orders a week for them. But since then, I added in a school teacher and a postman and a police officer. So, the little people are still going strong. I think I did three batch sales of them throughout sort of April and May. And I think there might have been one in early June where I literally left it 4 weeks in between each one, put them on sale, and exactly the same thing happened every time. It was just crazy. And I think in total, I ended up donating about £1,900 to the NHS Charities Direct, which was brilliant. So, yes, a bit of a mad moment, to be honest.
Oh, that's amazing though. Well done. What a lovely way to give back. And what a great way as well to like do something different with your business during a really hard time. Because as you say, people were shutting down their businesses and but that's a really good example of how you pivoted your business. And I don't know how you managed it with homeschool as well. So
I don't really, to be honest. There were a lot of tears. I roped my mum in to help me cut. So bless my mum. She was cutting out hundreds of pairs of fairy wings at a time and covering her house in glitter because they're made out of like a gold glitter fabric that goes absolutely everywhere.
Oh, I'm glad you asked for help. That's really important.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I don't often. That is actually a weakness. I'm really not very good at asking for help, but I did get to a point. And I mean, no one else could sew them. But yeah, my mum was like, let me help you. Let me help at least cut them out. When I was in a weeping mess on the floor, also trying to teach maths. So
you know what? You got through it. So well
I did.
Done. I'm glad you're really proud of yourself because you should be.
Yeah, thank you.
That's fantastic. So just to change tack a little bit, we've got just a few more questions to finish up, if that's okay. So I think you've sort of covered this, but are there any challenges that you've encountered along the way? I mean, you've just shared a pretty big one.
I mean I would have said up until March this year that really my most challenging period every year is the run-up to Christmas, because you know, life as a family is busy. We have a lot of school stuff going on, and I'm also trying to organise my own life. And no matter how organised you try and be, every year I get myself into a massive stress about how much I've still got to achieve and when I want to get it sent out by. And it normally ends up with my husband sitting me down, giving me a talking to, saying it's not as bad as it seems. I can do it. But yeah, obviously this year has thrown us all a massive curveball, and never ever did I think that I would have my children at home for nearly 6 months and for like 4 months of those be trying to do schoolwork with them. My boys are 8 and 10, so some of it was quite challenging. I hold my hands up and admit that, especially in the maths. I don't know how they teach them now, but it's not how I learned. So that was a bit of a question mark. But yeah, it was just the juggle of everything. Just permanently being exhausted and trying to work and keep the kids happy and not live in a mess, which, to be honest, in the end, I didn't really worry about. It was only once people could come back in your house I suddenly went, oh my God, I haven't tidied up in 3 months. Quick, get the Hoover out. But yeah, I think generally things that I do find quite tricky sometimes, obviously when you work on your own, sometimes it's quite hard to know if you're getting it right. I had a wobble a couple of days ago because I've made a load of new products. And I might like them, but it doesn't mean that anybody else is going to like them. That I find really hard. And I think it's just judging how the year's going to go. It's really hard to predict, especially with handmade. You never quite know who's going to order when.
And especially now, I guess, as well, because this year has been something that nobody could have ever predicted. For personally, it's made me feel much more uncertain about the future. Like, nothing's a certainty anymore is how I'm feeling. Yeah, and hopefully that feeling will go, but it definitely feels now like anything could happen.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've had some amazing things happen this year, but also it's been really hard. So yeah, I don't know. I personally am feeling quite nervous about the Christmas season. More so than normal, but having spoken to lots of maker friends, everybody else is like, oh, I think it's going to be amazing. But I don't know, I'm still a little bit skeptical. I just think so many people have got other things going on, and now with all these new restrictions and everything, like, what, none of us are quite sure what Christmas is going to look like this year, are we? But but we can only do what we can do. I'll just keep sewing.
That's a good idea. And I do think people, whatever happens, however Christmas looks this year, I do think people will still be buying.
I hope.
Yeah, I think it's one time of year when you hope that that will continue. And coming back to your point about sort of creating new products, not knowing what they're like. I think that's one of the benefits of being part of a network, as you were talking about the angels earlier. It's having people to, whether it's a network like that or like you were saying about the Etsy Facebook groups or whatever, but having people that you can sort of say, what do you think of this, is really good. Because I think even if you're, I think this applies to makers and people who perhaps source their products, is it's really easy to think that something's great because you like it, and then actually you're the only one, or you've completely missed the mark on something. So having people to share your ideas with is brilliant, and something that I would personally recommend that everyone has people they can use as a sounding board.
And I think also it's important to have people that aren't your friends and family, because they will always say, oh, that's lovely, but that's not actually always helpful, because sometimes it isn't, but they just wouldn't want to say that. So I think it is good to have other people, especially people that do the same sort of things as you, that you can talk about things with.
Definitely, because I think you do need a bit of constructive criticism, and as you say, like, I could look at something you'd produce and say, oh, that looks really good, but I wouldn't know if the stitching was good or anything like that. Having people who sort of do something similar makes sense.
And also I think just who runs small businesses, because obviously I mean most of my friends are employed by other people, so when it's just you, sometimes people don't really understand how stressful it can be when you're trying to do everything, and the making part sometimes ends up being quite a small part of it. It's everything else, and you have to be good at everything unless you're going to outsource, which I don't currently, so I do my own accounts and like all those things I've had to learn how to do. Sometimes it can be a bit stressful.
And the buck stops with you as well. I think that's something that I found when I first started being self-employed, and I was doing something completely different. I was teaching yoga, but I found it really tricky being the person who had to make all the decisions, because when you're employed you don't actually often get to make that many decisions. But suddenly you're making all of the decisions. Shift, isn't it?
And also you're the one who has to motivate yourself to do your job, because if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. So I mean, I used to be a PA, and there were days when I sat in a team of people, and we'd all be sitting having a chat, and you'd sort of think, oh, I haven't really done that much work today, but it didn't really matter. Whereas now, like, my time is precious, and I know I do put that pressure on myself, but when the kids are at school, I need to get on with it, and I need to put the phone down and get off of Instagram, which is... I know we all do it, stop scrolling. I think my husband's discovered from working at home over the last 6 months how much I do talk to myself as well, because normally there's no one here, so I'm always giving myself a talking to. Put your phone down, get on with your work.
Well, as you say, you need to be the person to do that, don't you? Can always get your husband to tell you that from time to time.
He's not allowed.
mine neither.
No.
So I completely can tell, Dawn, from this whole conversation how much you love what you do. It's really coming across. What is it that you love about running your own business, about making your own products? Tell us some of the things you enjoy.
So I would say the chance to be creative. On the occasions when I am not working, so it did get to a point during lockdown, I think it was the end of June, when I made the decision to close the business for a couple of months, because I was just too stressed out. I was fed up of not really doing anything very well, but trying to do everything, and so I just shut my shop for a while. I still took on the odd job here and there. So people were emailing me asking me to make things, but I didn't actually advertise that I was doing that. And I was so grumpy because I wasn't sewing. I always tend to get this sort of over Christmas, I'll not do anything for a couple of weeks because everybody's at home and obviously you're having a nice time. But when it comes to starting up again, I then get the fear because I've not stitched. I always get the fear about posting on Instagram. I know other people say that if you've had a break. But I do, if I don't make, I'm really grumpy. So that's obviously something that I just need to do. So yeah, just being able to create daily, whether it's something that goes in the bin or doesn't ever see the light of day, I just like to be able to sort of have a fiddle around with the fabric and just have fun. I love the fact that I can most of the time, last 6 months excluded, work around my family life, because obviously that's the reason why I am self-employed. That's the reason why I run my own business and I don't work for somebody else, because it is so flexible. And I also love the other side we were talking about, is like the sort of Instagram side. I really love connecting with people and actually chatting to people and sort of talking about what I've made and people asking me to make something and then knowing that they've gifted it. A lot of the time things are made and then they've gifted. And that's quite special when someone actually chooses you and says, can you make this? It's for a special occasion. And I know that person's going to love it. And then it's always great when you get good feedback afterwards. So I do always appreciate the good thing with Etsy is people go back on. They don't have to, but they can once they purchase and they can leave a review. And when you get a really lovely review, it, honestly, it makes your week. So yeah, all of those things really.
Oh, I completely can see all of that. So one final question, if that's okay. So
yeah.
If you had to give one piece of advice to another maker who wanted to start selling their products, what would it be?
I would say be yourself, because it shines through in what you do, and create your own style. There are a lot of us on Instagram that freehand embroider, but we all do it in a different way. Our work all looks different. And I think you can tell when someone is trying to not copy, but when someone is trying to do something that isn't them. So yeah, I would say just find your own way, really, and find your own style, and don't overthink it, just do it, which is my message to myself most days. As I said, you kind of faff about and you think about things too much, but sometimes you're better off just having a go.
Advice, thank you. And I think particularly with products like yours that are creative, so things that people are making from hand, there's so many different styles and everyone has their own take. So I think that's brilliant advice, because whatever you do, some people will like it and some people won't, and that's fine. And that goes for absolutely every seller on Etsy or any other platform. Because it all comes down to what you as an individual are looking for and what you like and what your taste is. So I think that's great advice, and I think creating things that you like is probably a really good place to start.
Yeah And I think people can tell if you've made something and you love what you're doing, it does come across. I mean, there are some things that I get asked to make and I don't particularly like what I've done, but I've followed the brief. But they're the things that won't tend to make it onto my Instagram feed. I only really share what I love.
Yeah. And I guess if the person, you know, the recipient loves it, then that's fantastic still.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for all you've shared, Dawn. So if people that's all right. want to come and have a look at your products, where's the best place for them to go?
So I would say if you are on Instagram, pop over and see me, because I do share a lot of behind the scenes stuff on stories as well. I do love stories. And before I wasn't alone in the house, I used to be on there all the time. Not so much when the kids were around, because I still find it quite weird that, Mummy, why are you talking to your phone? I'm always sharing new things over on Instagram and on Facebook, but mainly Instagram. And then my Etsy shop currently is where you can find everything.
Perfect, thank you. And I'll link to both of those in the show notes so people can lovely. Get them really easily. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dawn. It was lovely to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
As always, I really hope you enjoyed the conversation with Dawn. I would love to know what you think. Remember, you can get in touch vicky@tinychipmunk.com, and do also go and take a look at Dawn's products over on Etsy as well. So thank you again for being here. If you have some time, please do remember to rate, review and subscribe to the show. And looking forward to talking to you again next week. Hi, this is just a little note. Say if you've enjoyed this episode or indeed any of the episodes and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.